Lift your hands in the worship of God. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Because you are God. Thank you for a day like this. Thank you for a time like this. Visit someone today. Touch someone's life. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. To the glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. I want to welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Start from verse 12. So I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I'll do a series on exceeding abundant grace. And this is part one. Our objective is to understand the mysteries of the grace of God. And second, to understand access to grace. The grace of God is one of the greatest mysteries of children of God. The grace of God is a reason for strange results in life. The grace of God gives assistance to the resisted. The grace of God releases favor to the disfavored. The grace of God gives advantage to the disadvantaged. When a man is disadvantaged on every ground, when a man is rejected on every ground, what bails him out is the grace of God. The grace of God was the mystery behind the life of Paul the Apostle. There will be no Paul without grace. The grace of God qualifies the disqualified. In fact, the unqualified. When they say a man is not qualified, or a person is disqualified, the grace of God qualifies the unqualified. The grace of God qualifies the disqualified. If you left it for human vote, many men of grace would have lost. If it was left for the vote of man. The grace of God makes the unknown to become the renowned. This person wasn't known before. There is no basis for him to be known. Makes the unknown to become the renowned. The grace of God makes the rejected become the accepted. And I'm going to be studying characters, several characters, where we see what you call grace work. The grace of God gives general ease to life. You are just moving with ease and people are wondering. The grace of God makes a man to take his world by surprise. Those who know you and those who love you and those who hate you are taken by surprise. If I stopped here, I've already said so much about the grace of God. Who was Paul the Apostle before grace came? Number one, he was the murderer that later became the deliverer. In Acts chapter 22, verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way unto the death. I was a distributor of death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. At one point he said, when Stephen was being stoned, he was there to gather the cloth. You shouldn't call a murderer and turn him into a preacher. I persecuted this way unto the death. Two, he was the late comer who never witnessed the story of redemption. He didn't witness it. He was the late comer. He was the person that never witnessed the existence of me, the sojourn of Jesus in the earth. He wasn't there. If anybody should tell us the story of the movement of Jesus, the crucifixion, the redemption, the details of what happened when Jesus died, it shouldn't be Paul. Maybe Peter, maybe James. Third, he was the apostle with deficient physical appearance. Deficient. Many of us are fine boys and fine girls. Not Paul the apostle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 10, He said, when they were referring to Paul, they said, his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. His speech is contemptible. Can we read it from other translations? Someone will say Paul's letters are severe and strong, but when he is with us in person, he is weak and his words are nothing. His letters are brawny and potent, but his person is a weakling and mumbles when he talks. For some say his letters are weighty, but his person, in person, he is unimpressive. His speaking amounts to nothing. He is unimpressive. I saw a commentator trying to describe him. He's actually little, he's small. And then not any facial feature or body feature that looks attractive. I don't know why that was, why he wasn't married. I don't know. The Living Bible said, when he gets here, don't bother about his letter. Some say, he sounds big, but it's all noise. When he gets here, you will see that there is nothing great about him. There is nothing great about him. And you have never heard a worse preacher. There is nothing great about him. It is when there is nothing great about you that grace picks you up. When people can say there is nothing great about your family, nothing great about your background, nothing great about where you have come from, that is when grace picks you up. That was why the Bible said, you have seen the grace of our Lord, that not many big people, not many mighty. I've been chosen. But God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his sight. Let me tell somebody here today. What you think is your qualification becomes your greatest disqualification before God. Back up a bit to verse 25 thereabout. Back up a bit. For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. I'd like you to note this because I'm going to come to that shortly. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many quote unquote professors and those kind of people after the flesh, not many mighty physically, not many noble from the palace of the Queen of England or from those palaces. Not, you won't see so many of them. Not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. If it was based on handsomeness, Paul would not be called. If it was based on height, Paul wouldn't be called. If the qualification was based on morality, and you haven't done anything bad before. Paul was a murderer, a killer. He won't be called. Am I communicating at all? If it was based on who came first, who met Jesus first, who was there when Jesus was on the earth, who witnessed the crucifixion, who was among the original 12, Paul wouldn't be called. That is the summary of grace. That you have no reason to be helped. Your only reason is God. That you have no reason to become anything. I see grace exploding upon someone here. And if you are that person, you will say a louder amen. I see grace exploding on someone here. And if you are that person, you shout the loudest amen. Who was Paul the apostle? Number four, he was of the sect of the Pharisees that Jesus hated with passion. The sect of the Pharisees. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 5 to 6, scripture speaking, he said he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. As touching the law, a Pharisee, I have been speaking on exceeding abundant grace, part one. Of a Pharisee, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Welcome the bishop. How is this one? Jesus permanently was on the neck of the Pharisees. He said, woe unto you scribes, woe unto you Pharisees, woe unto you teachers of the law. Only for him to go to the same group of the Pharisees to pick a man. He never saw eye to eye with the Pharisees because they were confirmed hypocrites. Only for him to go into their midst to pick a person. The only reason why that can happen is called grace. The grace that qualifies the unqualified, qualifies the disqualified, that gives acceptance to the rejected, that makes the unknown become the renowned. The grace of God that makes the plus where there was a minus. Am I communicating at all? That was what Paul meant. He said, I'm not qualified for any of this things. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I injured people. My life was a torment to my generation. Until grace found me. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty handed, but alive in your hand. Majesty, Majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, sing in majesty, 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 majesty. Majesty, your grace has found me, your grace be just as Majesty, 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 forever I am changed. I am changed. I am old. In God's presence. In the presence of your majesty. Sect of the Pharisees, forget. Yet God said, I pick you. Who was Paul? He was from the least tribe of Israel, a Benjamite. The least tribe of Israel. In Acts, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, where we read, he said, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the tribe of Benjamin, there is nothing great. Nothing great. Nothing. And God was taking a risk. Because the first time he chose somebody from the tribe of Benjamin, he failed. Now he's choosing another person from the tribe of Benjamin with the same name. Saul. With the same name, from the same tribe of... Now, if it was just coincidental that this is from the tribe of Benjamin, he is choosing another Saul. The first Saul. The first Saul. The first Saul misbehaved. The first Saul backslid. The first Saul consulted familiar spirits. Went to witch doctor. The first Saul committed suicide. I wanted to wipe out the seed called David. Now, you are taking a risk to choose another Saul. Listen, it is grace that makes God to take risks. Many of us who are called, God took a risk. Colossal risk. The possibility of failing. The possibility of messing up. The possibility of disappointing. Say, but give him a chance. Just give him a try. Am I communicating? Your tendencies, your proclivities, the history of those before you, the history of your family line, what is possible around where you have come from. He said, these possibilities are... they are very troubling, but let me give him a chance. Let me give him a chance. I don't know about you, but my life is just like that. Am I speaking? Let me give him a chance. Other people before him may have failed. Other people may have messed up. People from his kind of place may not have succeeded in this kind of assignment. But let me give him a chance. I am here speaking to somebody. My God and your God is about to give you a chance. He's giving you a chance. He's taking a risk regarding your life, but that risk shall be a successful risk, because you are not going to fail, you are not going to disappoint, you are not going to be wasted. If you are saying amen, say it louder. Amen. Anybody who is about to be a recipient of grace, shout grace 5 times. Again, 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 and again. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That is why scriptures permanently says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's not a question of human qualification. It's not a question of human will or effort. Many of us grew up, people never gave us the chance to fail or succeed before they concluded that we will never succeed. They never gave any chance. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. As a young man, well, I'm not talking of whether you are a Christian yet. You are just growing up. You are just growing up. A neighbor saw you and said, this type of people can't amount to anything. In my primary school, A teacher looked at me at the end of the class. He said, look at this one. This type, they don't become anything. I'm sure you have heard such things before growing up. Alright? Maybe someone who hated your mother looked at you and said, look at you. Anything. Maybe you came from a big home like a polygamous home. And one segment of the home feel that this, you cannot be anything. But God just crosses his hand. And he said that this one that you say will be nothing, I am going to show you what he will become in this generation. This one that you say can amount to nothing, I will show you that I am a specialist in turning non-entities into some entities. Is God speaking to somebody here? I am a specialist in turning non-entities into some entities. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. I think God decided to call another Saul to prove to the world that it doesn't matter what your name is, and it doesn't matter what your tribe is, and it doesn't matter the history of those before you. I can change the story with your life. I can still trust you and use you and still make you what you are meant to be. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. That is what is called exceeding abundant grace. Who was Paul the Apostle? He was the over-educated Pharisee. Over-educated Pharisee. Whose education could have been a limitation. We just read it. I think that was 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26 or so, where we read that God has not chosen, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not many educated people after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And it is the same Paul who is writing this. So the meaning of that is, my Pharisee existence limited me. And my over-education is also a limitation right now. But God said, I am still going to pick you. I'm going to pick you and make something out of your life. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I apply for your grace. Right now, I apply for your grace. To qualify for grace, you must drop your qualification. And I'm going to come to that shortly. You must do anything you think is a reason why. Some people, it is because of your boasting of how much you can fast that you haven't seen anything. It is your over understanding. I went to this, I did this, I did that. That's the reason why God is saying, all right, I want all the things you know to help you. I told you the story before. When we came into this town newly, one young man, he was in town here, a reverend, came to me and said, I was talking to a senior man of God at that time, how God was leading us to the city. And he said, there are so many churches here in town already. This town is overcharged with churches. And he was mentioning different churches. And this other senior man of God told him, is he talking to you? Leave him to discuss with me. So I finished talking. And we left. Sometime later, that pastor came to me, that reverend came to me, and he said, a pastor, man of God, I'm grateful, I'm excited how God is helping you, helping your ministry, helping, I see things happening around you. Can you tell me the secret of how a church can grow and flourish? Oh, I know that you have to fast and pray very well. I know that you have to study the word very well. I know that you have to preach and teach the word very well. And he kept on talking and talking. So I told him, you already know all of it. Just go ahead and do what you know. Father, help him to go ahead. He didn't hear one word from me. Because he didn't come to hear anything. He came to show me what he knows. That guy has no address now. I don't know where he is in the whole world. He was popular. He was known. Yes. He is nowhere now globally. I don't know his address. Maybe I'll Google him after service. What did grace, this Paul that we just talked about, the murderer, the killer, from the least tribe, the tribe that had already failed God before. This Saul that we talked about, what did grace make him? One, grace turned him into the frontline star apostle. Apostle of the apostle. When apostles gather, he was their apostle. He turned him into the frontline star apostle. He turned him into the apostle's apostle. He was the late comer that became the frontliner. He didn't come when Peter came. He wasn't there when James was there. He wasn't there when John was there. He wasn't there when Jesus was on the earth. He was a sinner. He was a Pharisee. He was a persecutor. But when he came unto the Lord, or when God went for him, and I think that there are people that try to come to the Lord, and many people God went for, like Paul the apostle. When God went for him, he turned him into a star apostle. He took him from the background to the forefront. I don't know who is here today, but I believe that this same grace I am talking about is about to turn you into something that will amaze your world. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. It is not how early or how late you came, but what is working for you that determines your outcome. Don't forget this. It's not how early or how late you came in, but what is working for you. It's not how early or how late you came into church, how early or how late you stepped into business, how early or how late you stepped into ministry. It is what is working for you. If grace is working for you, and great grace is working for you, and exceeding great grace is working for you, you can be the late comer that ended as the frontliner. Very, very late. You came late, but there you are, right in the front. Until people begin to ask, we don't know what they are doing. We don't know what they are using. Maybe they are using charm. I think that is an insult on God. It's an insult because charm shouldn't be stronger than God. Archbishop Benson said, if they use charm, use God. And God is bigger than charm. Am I communicating at all? What did grace turn Paul the apostle? Grace turned him into that frontliner. Peter began to receive instruction. Peter began to receive instruction from Paul the apostle by grace. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Paul was speaking, the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles. So Peter was reading the writings of Paul. He says, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard. I, Peter, was finding it hard to understand Paul. Hard to be understood. I was there when Jesus died. I was there when Jesus was crucified. I was there when he resurrected. Paul was not there. But Paul is telling me things about redemption I can't understand. Paul is telling me things about the crucifixion that even though I was watching, I didn't know.
Paul is telling me things that about the resurrection. What happened? He said, we were risen together with him. I saw him resurrect, but I didn't know that was what happened. Things that were hard to be understood were spoken to me of Paul by grace.
Beloved, it's not of him that will it, and of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. Am I communicating at all? This was what grace turned Paul into. Late comer, became frontliner, began to instruct those who were there in front of him. That was grace. Number two, grace ushered Paul into the manifestation of diverse giftings. Diverse. That is, the man literally manifested every gift that existed. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. Paul, it was, who told us about word of knowledge. Peter never mentioned nothing about spiritual gifts, even though he may have operated them. James, minimal or zero. He's telling us a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the working of miracles, miracle working faith, the gifts of healing, the gift of tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. You cannot explain what you do not understand. No. If Paul the apostle, if Paul didn't mention the gifts, we wouldn't know. So he explained the things that were his life. He was telling the story of his glory. That is, anything that was available in the New Testament, Paul stepped into it. It was like David's version of the Old Testament. Am I communicating at all? Divers, when grace speaks, gifts explode. You don't struggle. Gifts explode. People begin to wonder, what is this with this man? What is this with this man? What do we call you? What do we call you? What do we? Somebody was interviewing me the other week, and they said, "Tell us, who are you? Are you a pastor? Are you an evangelist? Are you a singer? Are you an instrument? What? Just tell us who you are. Tell us what you are." I said, "Well, I am a passionate lover of God, a pursuer of God." And I got close to God to some extent, and he pressed some things out of me. Am I communicating at all? That was the life. That was the man that was not qualified to be anything. The murderer. The man of the Pharisee. The Benjamite. The late comer. This guy manifested what Peter only dreamt about. That was Paul. Who was Paul there? What was the manifestation of grace in Paul's life? Number three, it was the explosion of the supernatural. This is separate from the gifts I was talking about. The explosion of the supernatural. Acts chapter 13, sorry, chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body we are brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul the apostle came to the point where the cloth of his body was healing the sick. He came to the point where his name was known in hell. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? The demons equated Paul on the same pedestal with Jesus. Why didn't they say Peter, we know? Why didn't they say James, we know? They were all apostles, but they were classes. The demons, it was not people who put Paul there. Demons placed Paul where Jesus was.
least they should have gone through the names of the 12, 11 minus Judas that were there before him. You see, there are people who are known in three worlds. They are known in heaven. They are known on earth. And they are known in hell. They are known there. They are known in those three realms. Help the man there. It was such an explosion. Help him, help her there. It was such an explosion of the super. That is what God is trusting do in our days. Where devils will recognize you by name. It was such an explosion. Into distant lands. These things were taken. This was the man who said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, this conference is titled Grace. I believe there is such an explosion of grace that is going to change somebody's life, change somebody's ministry, change somebody's business. If you are that person, you will shout the loudest, Amen. What did grace do for Paul? Number five, access to strange visions and revelations. Access to strange visions and revelations. Access to strange visions and revelations. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 2, say, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I come to visions and revelations. Say, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. So, this vision and revelation I'm talking about did not start today. Whether the man was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. So he was the man who had out of the body experiences. He's out of his body, seen his body on the bed, and he's in some realms. Traveled into some realms and returned back to his body. He said that man was caught up. Keep on showing. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So he was differentiating for us. The first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And then, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God know it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that was not lawful for a man to utter. So there were things Paul heard that nobody heard from his mouth till he died. He died with light. You see, he was telling the Hebrews, he said, there are things I want to tell you, but you are not matured to accommodate them, so no need. No need. So he died with light. What a grace. We are seeing things that we can talk about all the time. Grace, visions, revelations. That is, he went in and out. Into the spirit, out of the spirit. Went into heaven, step out of heaven. It was at will. He brought heaven to earth and earth to heaven. At will. By grace. Grace caused revelations to explode. It causes visions to explode. It causes directions to explode. If there is anything God will achieve here, because there are people seated here now, These things we are talking about used to be your experience many years ago. All of a sudden they have disappeared. You are hearing nothing, you are seeing nothing, you are receiving nothing. How can you be claiming to be working for a God you are not hearing? Out of touch with the one you claim sent you. How can the messenger be without a message? This is grace. I wish the whole church was here this morning. Grace. Strange vision. Strange revelation. He said one day he was 24 hours inside water. A night and a day in the deep. And you are not fish. And you didn't die. Even the hippopotamus that stays underwater at times comes out to take breath before going back. This guy was there for 24 hours. See, and they are stood by me this night. The angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying to me, Paul, be of good cheer. Thou will be brought before Caesar. And there shall be the loss of no life. Somebody get ready. That grace is exploding upon you. That grace is exploding upon you. Finally, number five, there are many more. He was given, what is number five? The privilege of being the author of almost half of the New Testament. He was given that privilege. Authoring almost half. I could have said half, but I'm not too sure. But I know that from Acts of the Apostles to Romans, to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians and Ephesians, and Philippians and Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, all the way to Hebrew, one man. And then he left the other half for 11. Peter, James, John, all of you, share the rest of the books. Somebody say grace. One thing you will understand is that grace does not always appear fair. It doesn't appear fair. It doesn't appear fair. This is not fair now. Only you. But never fight a man who carries grace. Otherwise, you suffer disgrace. Otherwise, you are deleted. Never fight a man who carries grace. Without me, ask Elimas the sorcerer, who withstood Paul and became blind on the spot. Listen to this as I round off this morning. What is it that are conditions to experiencing exceeding grace? Even though we said there are no pre-qualifications, yet there are predilections, conditions. There are things that God will see in a man. And he will say, let me do this in this man's life. And I'll enumerate them. Just a few of them. You know, before Jacob and Esau, like God's servant Bishop Papa Yedipo was saying yesterday, before Jacob and Esau ever made any decision, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. They were still in the womb. Sir, you are a just God. Why will you hate a baby that have not even messed up yet? He hasn't been born. God wasn't speaking for the babies today. He was speaking for what he could see in the tomorrow of the baby. That this baby
will be such a useless baby, he will sell his birthright. And that if it is, that this baby will be such a useless baby, he will outrightly go out of the covenant of Israel to marry the Hittites. That this baby, when he's grown, will be such a useless baby, you will never find him erect an altar and call on God one day. Check through your scripture and tell me one place where you saw an Esau prayed. Or Esau erected an altar and offered sacrifice to God. That this baby is likely to sell the covenant lineage of Abraham and Isaac. He can transact it for food. If he can sell his birthright, he can transact it away. So, he has not behaved, but I can see his future. I hate him. You know, when God was cutting away the house of Jeroboam, he said there was a child that was going to be born. He said it is inside him that he saw something good of the child. Not that one yet. The baby was, he said, the baby that is born, I see, is in that baby that I'm seeing something. That is, the baby hasn't grown or done anything yet. So, there may be no condition, there may be no qualifications, but there are certain things that a person can carry. That even though everything physical is against you, God says, from what I can see in this one, if I anoint him and I embrace him, he will not disappoint. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive your help to do your will. What is condition number one or predilection number one? It is called death to self. Death to self. Any man, any woman who will embrace death to self will see grace like never before. Absolute death to self, which translates into humility, is a qualifier for God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8, he said, I, for unto me, who I am less than the least of this of all saints. That is Paul in his stature, said, now I am smaller than every saint. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Many of us, our arrogance and pride is the reason for our limitation. Ostentation brings limitation. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God can see the posture of our heart before he can put his deposits in our hands. For many of us, it is not the pride of today, but the pride that will arise later. Because adversity imparts humility. There are people, you are so humble because things are not working. But just after a little promotion, after a little, you see, just some little resolve, their shoulders are like this. Can't talk to people anymore. God said, I am trying to cause you to pastor 10,000 people. You are pastoring 1,000 people and you are the boss of everybody. Can talk to elders in church anyhow. Those who are old enough to give birth to you, you come here. There are people like that. Like that. CEO of a corporation instead of servant of the Most High God. That is a limitation of our generation. Such a limitation that even people are too big to submit for genuine spiritual oversight. And no matter how golden a cup is, if it must receive water, it must bow for the tap. It must bow for the tap. It must bow for the tap. Some of us is in the realm of business. God wants to turn you into a billionaire. But the way you are treating your contemporaries and people that are, you know, the way you are behaving now, you are already in competition with some people. Huh? I will buy you, you buy a car, you do this. God said, if I give this one any measure of money, he's an oppressor, a major oppressor. He will only use the money to oppress people. Carry to do things and tell, let people say, what can you do? See what I have achieved. What of you? That makes people feel small when they come around them. God said, I have so much to do with your life, but your pride has exempted you. You know, it was pride that made Lucifer to crash. There was a young man, bishop, that God was using, and he began to, blind eyes were seeing, and things were happening. And then they asked him, and then he stopped coming to church. And they said, why are you not coming to church? He said, come to church to sit down under who? The pastor there, does he pray and blind people see? Does he pray and deaf people hear? To sit down under who? That guy ran mad. Grace disappeared. Insanity arrived. That was his end. It is of him, it is not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that shows mercy. The race is that, see, he said, now if you say that it is because you know how to obey God, that's why you are, God is trying to promote you. Who gave you the ability to obey God? It's God who worketh in you. You cannot please God without his help. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He said, what maketh you to differ from another? Can I see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8? And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Can you look for them? Who maketh you to differ from another? And what hast thou? That this is Paul the humble speaking. And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Healing ministry, evangelistic ministry, prophetic grace, teaching ministry, word, whatever. What hast thou that thou did not receive? And if you receive it, why are you behaving as if you have not received it? Now, it will blow your mind if you read it from New Living. Now, go ahead. NIV. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? What are you so puffed up about? The Living Bible. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great? And as though you have accomplished something on your own? This is where the problem lies. We are on a journey. Then pride shows up like it's in Lucifer. And he says, journey over.
And when the journey of pride is over, you don't remain in stagnation. You go into depression. You go down. You go. Lucifer didn't just step out of heaven. He went to hell. Nebuchadnezzar didn't just step out of the throne. He went to the bush. That is, pride will usher you into a realm that was worse than what you were before you began. Like us to calm down. There's too much arrogance. Ministry arrogance, pride, or too much business arrogance. There's too much. Just calm down. God is being limited. He wants to do so much, but he's being limited by the ostentation and braggadocious nature of people. One day I went to God praying for 7 days. And I asked God, I'm trusting you for this and that. By the fourth day, that was when I heard anything. He said, what you are asking is not too difficult, but can you defend my glory? He said, I don't want you to touch it. And I don't want anybody to touch it where you are. Then I went for another 3 days crying. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Let me never arrive. Let me never behave like an achiever. Let me never behave like I am anything. Help me. Just help me. Help me. Just always remind me where you took me from. Just let me know. Just remind me. This was Paul's situation. And God saw in his heart, till the day of his death, he said, I am the least of all apostles. Because when you see what others cannot see, you will begin to behave as if you are bigger than others. But you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul the apostle said, for I know nothing by myself. That is, any revelation I got, God showed me. I know nothing by myself. Pastor, who know how to preach? And you see scriptures, who showed you? That you are raising shoulder, you can have insight more than. There are people, their insight is their undoing. Spiritual pride. So spiritually proud that there are places where they charge to preach the message. I don't know where they saw that in scripture. I'm coming for 2 sessions. Each session is so and so amount. I said, no matter the anointing you carry, you can never step cross here. I invited one man some years ago, and he said to me that, let me not go into that detail because this is not pastor's meeting. There are other people seated here. Am I communicating at all? My father in the Lord said, don't struggle with honorarium if I come to preach. Yeah. I am not a guest minister. Me and you are hosting the program together. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. If the only thing you will receive from this conference, any tendency of arrogance, Lord, kill it. And it's better it happens by revelation than by situations. Don't let God humble you. Let revelation humble you. See something in scripture that will calm you down. Don't let God pass you through things. Because you may come out of it, but you will never be the same. Jacob came out, but with a limp. No. Don't let revelation bring you to submission. Don't let situations bring you to submission. Because when they bring you into submission, they bring you into total frustration. You may come out of it, but the scar remains. That was condition I saw in Paul the Apostle. Death to self. And number two is flowing with the Spirit. You know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of grace. Zechariah chapter 12 and in verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and in verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of grace. That was why in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 40, Jesus, the child grew, that's John, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As he waxed strong in spirit, it compelled grace upon him. Flow abundantly in the spirit, in praying in the spirit, in worshiping in the spirit, flowing abundantly in being guided by the spirit, being led by the spirit. If you understand what it means to pray in the spirit, understand what it means to worship in the spirit, understand what it means to be led and guided by the spirit, grace will be effortless. Grace will flow. Number two, flowing with the spirit of grace. Number three, existing with the spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer. Paul the Apostle, he said, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. He said, pray without ceasing. Finally, grace will answer to the willingness to labor. The willingness to labor. The acceptance of responsibility. I labored more abundantly than they all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10 and verse 11. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I labored more abundantly. God does not give grace to holiday makers. He gives grace to laborers. I labored more abundantly. He doesn't give grace to form seekers. Grace is not for form fair and fanfare. I labored more abundantly than they. I labored more than Peter. Ask him, he will confirm. I labored more than James. I labored more than John. I can't labor more than you and you be at the same level of grace like me. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but grace. Do you know how the ancient fathers labored? Or our robots will be in Madison Square Garden for 5 weeks. Every night. Dr. Maurice Cerullo said they were fasting for days, 7 days, 8 days. He said as long as the crusade lasted, he was fasting. He hold a crusade every evening. He said he will ensure the Sunday is behind him. That is, there may be water. That is, let the news hit the town that something is happening. And then, our generation, that's why we are not touching what the people touched. Billy Graham was in
Wembley Stadium for 88 nights. 2 days. It would have been 90 days.
He was there until Wembley Stadium became the overflow.
Lived to be almost 100 years. Others lived to be 90 something years. Many of us, we are 40 years, we are tired. Tired of doing what?
Labored more, but
I was talking with Papa Yedeko yesterday. He said the way we are walking, if it was not the grace of God, somebody would have died since. He was the one talking. Because at times, good morning can be 3 a.m. or good night. And you don't know whether to say good night or good morning. I labored more abundantly. You might not be an evangelist, but when was the last time you did a neighborhood outreach where you are located?
I labored more abundantly. When a man decides to labor, God gives him the mantle of many people. If you cannot do the labor of 1,000 people and carry the mantle of a person, it's not possible. He just transfers mantle. Take this, take that. That was what happened to Elijah. Elijah was the only prophet that was ready to speak in Israel against Ahab, against the evil of the land. He was the only one that prophesied. There were 100 prophets that Obadiah hid that said nothing. There were 7,000 that didn't bow to Baal. But there was one man who kept on speaking. And God said, all right, I carry the 7,000 mantles. Because mantles must not be wasted. I carry the mantles of this 100 prophet. All of only you carry all of it. Now stand, no devil can stand you. And then he persecuted the devil until he went bodily to heaven. Even death couldn't catch him. He was functioning with diverse graces and helps. Am I communicating? So the previous words say God will bypass 1,000 people to anoint one man who has a heart and a passion and a willingness to do God's will. He will bypass 1,000 people. Means he will take whatever he was to give to 1,000 people and give it to that one man. And say, you move. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Be upstand. Because I see an explosion happening right now. He will bypass. He will just say, look, you are ready to walk. We returned from crusade on Friday night. On Saturday night. Saturday night. Because there is no airline flying at that time. At times we organized 3 private jets, 3. Return back instrumentalists, return back cameramen, return back everything to be in church on Sunday. Preach on Sunday. Then schedule continues. We came from Lafayette Crusade, the one that they showed you the other day. That's three weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. Then the following week, second week, we're in Lagos. Church is happening. Seeds of Destiny, daily devotional is happening. Everything is happening. Fire burning everywhere. God said, receive the help. Receive the grace. Receive the help. Receive the grace. Something is happening to you. You see, you are face to face with diverse graces. God's servant, pastor, bishop, Nazari, all the way from Ghana, is also here with us. With several graces passing through here this week, you must make up your mind. Okay, if you don't have energy to labor, apply for grace to labor. Because I say I labored more abundantly by the grace. So you can get grace to labor, and by laboring you connect more grace. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice everywhere you are. And I'm not only talking to pastors, talking to businessmen. Labor in kingdom service, labor in giving, labor in sowing, labor in soul winning, labor in impacting your generation. Labor, just be at work. That's right. Lift your hands, people. Lift your hands and just receive something that God is releasing to you right now. Go ahead and receive something that God is releasing to you right now. Go ahead and receive something that God is releasing to you right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you. First of all, let's thank him. Let's honor him.
Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed, I'm in your hands, singing majesty. Singing majesty, majesty, forever I am chained, forever I am chained by your Lord. In majesty, sing it one more time. Majesty, singing majesty, majesty. Your grace has found me, your grace has just as I am. Oh Lord. Singing majesty, singing majesty, majesty, singing majesty, forever I am chained. In the presence.
In the presence of your
Justice. We might not go through everything right now, but just the prayer we're going to pray is just as we ask. Lord, crush everything in me that stands in the way of your grace. Every trace of arrogance, pride, or temptation, every tendency of it, crush it. Crush it. Crush it. Open your mouth and speak to God and mean it from your heart. Every tendency of pride, every tendency of arrogance, every tendency of ostentation, crush it, Lord, in my life. Crush it, Lord, in my heart. Crush every tendency of pride, tendency of arrogance, tendency of ostentation. Crush, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God. Crush everything in me by your word, by revelation that stands in the way of your grace. Every tendency of pride, every tendency of ostentation, every tendency of arrogance, crush, Father. In the name of Jesus, I am asking you. I am asking you for this help. I am asking you for this help.
I am asking you for this help. I am asking you for this help. Meshke kalarana sakala bagara dagala. Sheko kola manaya la la hasha. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and make demands on the spirit of grace and the spirit of prayer together. Father, help me to flow at a higher level than usual, to flow with the spirit of grace, to flow with the spirit of prayer. Help me, Lord, to shift to another level in the spirit of grace, the spirit of prayer. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, I receive your grace
receive your
grace. Pray like never before. I connect with the spirit of grace today at the altar of prayer. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. Go ahead and speak.
Lepe korata zaga la pande ke preto raga de bado. Elia korada bazade le pe ratataya. Lepe katele braga do baba roda go zaga baba la to roda go ba. Lepe korota go baga lo roda ba. Lepe katege de bebe le te raga de baba la zaga ya. Lepe rata zaga la tabara raga ya la baba da. Elia karata zaga la tora de pepe ni na daga da. Elia zaga da lepe rata zaga barate. Ratada babarate leperatata le perroso gobabara elia corrande le perata zagola birada elia cocobeli le perata zagadi bara le petetere de gobabala gorogoda baba elia totora namayana la peta shade le perata kana bragadi godo elia karada zagala la barada zagala la barada zagala le perata zagale beriana la
in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. As we ask now for the grace to labor, I see people strengthening the hearts of people, strengthening physical strength for your body to carry the work, for your body to carry the work. You know, you say sacrifices and offering, thou would not. A body has thou prepared me. God can prepare you a body, give you a body that will help you to run the task, to run the assignment, and to run so that when you are 80, you energy of 30. When you are 60, you still have the energy of 25. Father, I receive the grace for labor. I receive the grace for labor. Prepare me a body that can carry the assignment, your assignment for my life. Open your mouth and say, Father, I receive the grace for labor. In the name of Jesus, prepare me a body that can carry the assignment that you have for me. Prepare me a body that can fulfill my destiny in the land of the living. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God.
El Lepetere Tatarata, El Lepas Zaga, Ella Pazaga, Ella Pazaga, Ella Parada Zado, Lepecatele Rebedia, Lehorato Rato Zago Rato Marete Pela, Eshagada Babaya Lataya, Ella Peretezaga Rebedi,
in the name of Jesus.
Will you lift up your hands everywhere you are? I see something dropping. I see something dropping. Freshness of grace. I see something dropping. I see something dropping. I see something dropping.
Mahashiva la ya 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 ya. Mahashiva la ya 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 ya. Lift your voice and receive the fire. Liteke mana yada 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 hashara. Lord, we wait on you. Mahashiva da yaya. Lord, we wait on you. Mashaba da galaga da galaga. Mashada ya 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 ya. Lord, we wait on you. Lita ya 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 ya. Please, Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We wait on you. Lift your hands now. What is in your heart is being dropped into your hands now by God. Grace, 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 grace. Number 5 stands for grace. I'm going to count up to 5. 1, 2, 3. By the time I say 5, you place your hand on yourself and scream, I receive. And then you begin to blast in tongues like never before. Let grace for work come upon you. Let fresh grace like that of Paul the Apostle come upon you to begin to step into realms you never stepped into before. Father, let the grace flow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, one. In the name of Jesus, one, two, three, four. Father, we give you the praise. One thing is very clear. You will never leave here the same. Diverse encounters, diverse visitations already happening. Take your seat.